This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Bruce Lee is known around the world for his legendary martial arts, his films, and his TV roles. A new movie, Birth of the Dragon, just opened in the Bay Area. It takes a look at Bruce's early years living in San Francisco in a legendary fight between Lee and Wong Jackman. But there's a lot that this Hollywood version doesn't show. The people who know the behind-the-scenes real hidden stories are Charles Russo, author of the book Striking Distance, Bruce Lee and the Dawn of Martial Arts in America, and Gary Kaganin, an early student at Bruce Lee's school in Oakland. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down to talk with them about Bruce Lee and the birth of the Bay Area's martial arts scene.
So in late 1964, Chinatown got very riled up around the idea that one of their local practitioners was going to go across the bay and fight Bruce Lee at his new school, his new kung fu school in Oakland. Bruce had been upsetting a lot of people in Chinatown based on some of the things that he was saying in his demonstrations. It came to a head, and the day of the fight, six people piled into a car and went over to Oakland. And, you know, what goes down there is really one of sort of the most legendary fights in modern martial arts history.
So, Gary Kaganin, how did you meet Bruce Lee?
To set the record straight, James Lee was my sifu or my instructor. Bruce was the head of the school, but by then he was in Hollywood. I'd met him a couple of times. I never really trained with Bruce. But to train at James's school was a magical period in the history of martial arts. To be able to train at a school that was pretty much Bruce's school and where he got his fundamental start in Jeet Kune Do, it was amazing, absolutely amazing.
What made it amazing?
The uniqueness of it. It was totally non-traditional. It was oriented towards street fighting, street self-defense. So a lot of the traditional aspects of learning forms and katas and wearing uniforms and things of that nature, we just went in there and learned how to fight.
So, Charles, Bruce Lee, there's this interesting connection between San Francisco and Oakland. Could you tell me a little bit about his story and how he got to where he ended up going to Hollywood after running the studio that Gary was part of?
You know, the circumstances of his birth in San Francisco are very interesting. His parents were traveling opera performers with the Cantonese Opera, and they had gotten special visas to come over and perform at a theater in Chinatown. And it was during this time that Bruce was born at the Chinese Hospital on Jackson Street.
So they were only here temporarily.
Yeah, they were here, I believe, for about a year and a half. He goes and grows up in Hong Kong, and while he's there, he gravitates to the martial arts amidst this very tenacious street fighting scene in Hong Kong during the 1950s. His involvement within this culture eventually causes him to get into some trouble as a teenager, and in the spring of 1959, he is sort of abruptly put on a steamship shortly before his high school graduation and sent back.
So he's a late teenager, like 18, 19.
Yeah, he's 18 years old when he returns to San Francisco in the spring of 1959. And he stays briefly with his godfather in Chinatown, where he gives dance lessons. Bruce Lee was, some people know this, Bruce Lee was a champion cha-cha dancer while he was in Hong Kong. So when he comes over to the U.S., he starts giving some lessons. And this is important to understand Bruce's time in the Bay Area and some of the tensions that surface is typically during maybe an intermission, he would give a kung fu demonstration. And at first, they're fairly innocuous. He's just kind of showing off what he could do. But over time, these become sort of critical lectures against the status quo of the martial arts. And as he's airing these opinions in front of different audiences and increasingly qualified martial arts audiences, he starts to develop some tensions with other people within the culture.
Why do you think that is? I mean, he obviously had a respect for martial arts.
Yeah, so Bruce, one of the things I would point out, which one of my, you know, sources explained to me, is when Bruce arrives in 1959, the reputation of the Wing Chun practitioners, Wing Chun being Bruce's original style of kung fu, their reputation precedes him to Chinatown. So that rough and tumble street fighting challenge culture, word of that arrives to Chinatown before he does. So he immediately gets off on the wrong foot with them because they instantly perceive him as this sort of upstart troublemaker. And he indeed has some bad interactions early on in 59. And over time, these just continue to, you know, sort of exacerbate one another.
That's Charles Russo, San Francisco journalist and author of Striking Distance, Bruce Lee and the Dawn of Martial Arts in America. So this brings us back to that fight. What ended up happening in this big legendary fight between the upstart Bruce Lee and the representative of the traditionalists, Wong Jackman?
The account that I got from Linda, Bruce's wife, and James Lee was that the fight was pretty simple. It didn't last long, just a couple of minutes at best. And it was one of those things where the people that came along with Wong Jackman wanted to establish rules with respect to this match. And Bruce says, "What are you talking about rules? This is a fight, so there are no rules. Let's just fight." They just went at it, and within a short period of time, Bruce is getting the better of him. And the thing is that Bruce was able to get him on the ground and start pounding him and won the fight. It was pretty simple.
And Charles?
There's a ton of controversy surrounding this fight. The debate over this fight rages in chat rooms. You look at any comment board on an article or anything like that, and people are constantly debating exactly what went on.
And it's the subject of this movie,
that
may or may not be the way it really happened.
And it very much captures people's imaginations. You know, I mean, the thing that's really amazing about the fight, if you stop and just look at the setup of it, is there's this sort of compelling symmetry between Bruce Lee and Wong Jackman. They're both the same age. They both emerge from the kung fu culture of Hong Kong to the Bay Area. And yet they have this sort of yin-yang-like dynamic. Bruce's style is Southern Shaolin, which is compact and close range. Wong Jackman's is Northern Shaolin, which is expansive and long range. They're both the same age. One's from Oakland, one's from San Francisco. And it's just this incredible matchup, and I could see why it captures the popular imagination. What I try to do in the book was go off the accounts of who was in the room. So I try and identify down to an individual who was there and what their accounts were. And every source I talked to, whether they were there or not, had an opinion on it. What I think is interesting is that when you look at Linda's account, and then you match it to, say, one of the people Wong Jackman came over, David Chin, it's very similar. I don't know if it was the most cinematic fight. It was fast and furious and spilled around the room. It culminated in Wong Jackman stumbling to the floor. Bruce very quickly got on top of him and pummeled him and said over and over in Cantonese, "Do you yield, do you yield?" At which point Wong Jackman gave up. With this film right now, you hear a lot of stories about no one knows exactly what happened. The fight might have lasted for 20 minutes. Based on my reporting, I just don't see that. I think they're still dealing in the realm of urban mythology.